What is it that you're waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for? Many people here are waiting for things to change in your lives, waiting for jobs. You're waiting for wives to come back into your life, for children to be restored into your lives, for relationships to be restored. We wait for other things too. I think about Christmas time as children, they wait for Santa Claus. They expectantly wait for gifts to be opened. They look for any opportunity to open up a present or to see a glimpse of a torn present to see what's inside. They wait expectantly for these things. And as I said in our prayer, Christmas time, for a lot of people, is a time of expectancy and hope, and especially for children, this time of joy to see what's under those Christmas trees, to see what presents they're going to get. But for many, and I expect many of us here tonight, Christmas time is somewhat of a depressing time, a difficult time. And then I think of the words of the angels who came to the shepherds who were watching their flock by night. And the words of the angels ring in my ears during this time. When the angels say, "I bring you good news of great joy. And this good news and great joy will be for all people." For all people. Not for the people who are rich, who have plenty and who have gifts under their trees, who are stocked full of things. But for the poor, for the needy, as well as for the wealthy who can find their trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have good news in this time, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to look at Micah, and what I see in Micah is something a lot like our situation here, for those who are struggling. Micah was in a time about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, a time of much difficulty. There were wars raging around his country. Invaders were coming into his land and destroying cities. There was expectation and fear that great nations around those places like Assyria and Babylon would come and destroy them, would kill them, would take their wives, would rape their wives, take their children. There was corruption in the midst of Israel and in the government. Princes were taking bribes. Judges were taking bribes. Micah laments the fact that the powerful, the rich, they were getting their way. They got whatever they wanted and devised and weaved together, it says in chapter 7. There was corruption in business practices. People were stealing from each other. People were lying about how much they were giving and selling. Finally, Micah comes to this point in the first few verses of chapter 7, and we're not going to read the first few chapters of chapter 7, but he says, "Woe is me." And he says that he is like a man in a vineyard, and he's hungry, and he's thirsting after grapes and fruit. But in this vineyard, there is nothing to eat. There are no grapes. Even his best friends, he says, betray him. His family members desert him. So he has much to be depressed about, to lament and to fear in his life. But what does he do? And this is what I want us to look at tonight, is as Micah is in this trial, in this difficult time, with what he does. And let's read in verse 7 of chapter 7. And he says this, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise." Although I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me.
Hallelujah.
Watching and waiting for the Lord. Who is the Lord according to Micah? If you look at, you don't have to turn here, but in the first chapter, in verse 3, Micah says, the Lord is coming forth from his place, from heaven. He will come down and he will tread on the high places of the earth. And then if you look in chapter 5, verses 2 and following, he says, but as for you, Bethlehem, this little town of Bethlehem where Jesus would be born, you're too little to be among the clans of Judah, but from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And it says, and he will arise and he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. And this one will be our peace. This Lord that Micah speaks of, this Lord is a Lord who doesn't stay up in the heavens, but he comes down to the earth. He comes to dwell and to intervene in our lives, to change and to transform our lives. He's a God who appears, who visits, who changes and transforms us. He's a God who indwells in us who believe in him. Indeed, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. This verse from Isaiah 7:14 is a familiar Christmas passage for us, and I want to weave this in here. It reads, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Us. And this is why Christmas is good news for us. Because God is with us. He is not a distant God. He is a God who is with us. But Micah, he turns to another idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. A Savior. Another Christmas passage that we read during this time is from Matthew chapter 1. And it reads this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus comes from this actual word that we find here in Micah, from salvation, from Yeshua, Jesus. He's a Savior. He's a Deliverer. And this is good news for all of us, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have guilt and we have things in our lives that have hindered our relationships, that have broken our relationships. We've done things to ourselves, to our own bodies, to our wives, our spouses, our family members, our brothers and sisters, our children, our parents. We have guilt, but we have a Lord, a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes away that guilt, who takes away the lies of Satan. Satan would try to destroy you. And as Micah says at the end of this book, he says, who is a God like our God? a God who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging, faithful love. This is good news for us, for all of us, at Christmas. And then Micah says that at the end of verse 7, he says, "My God will hear me." We have a God, and we're waiting for a God who hears us. We're longingly expecting a God who hears us. This is why we prayed tonight, why we took up prayer requests, because we have a God who hears. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. We can lift up our voices to the Lord God. We can lift up our cries to the Lord God. We can lift up our pains to the Lord God. We can lift up our difficulties to the Lord God. The Lord says, "Call on to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you know not." This doesn't mean that you're going to get everything that you want. This means that the Lord will hear you and he will answer you. He might say no, but he will give you his peace. That transcends all comprehension as you trust in him. But then in verse 8, Micah says, "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise." We wait for a God who brings life and victory in the midst of death and defeat. A God who brings life and victory in the midst of death and defeat. And we see this in Jesus' own life. In another powerful passage in Philippians chapter 2, we have these words in admonition to us. It says to have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he was God himself. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He became a little baby to become a slave. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ was at his lowest point, death on the cross, the worst imaginable point in the history of the universe, an innocent man dying for things he had not done. And then it reads, it turns from death to life. "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, the Lord God, he restores our situations of difficulty and pain. He lifts us up from our lowest points and brings us into his glory. And even in our death, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not die. We will be raised up again from death. Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Let me rephrase that, because Jesus didn't say that. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies." Our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, the one we celebrate here this Christmas, the one who brings us good news of great joy, he brings us life in the midst of difficulty. He gives us victory as we follow him. And then Micah, he says at the second part of verse 8, he says, "Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me." The Lord is a light for me. In the first part of John, another passage that speaks of Jesus coming down to become a human being, the Son of God becoming a human being. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." And then hear this. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And then in verse 9, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." Jesus Christ is the light to bring light to the darkness in our world, to bring light to the darkness in our lives, to bring light into those crevices in our hearts that prevent us from rejoicing. He brings us light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What does it mean to be light? It means to give us comprehension and understanding, to give us hope and vision. Have you ever been in a place where you had a blindfold on, somebody put a blindfold on you and told you to walk through a maze or to put a tail on a donkey or to hit a pinata as you spin around like an idiot trying to find where the pinata is? You're helpless without vision. You're helpless without being able to see. You're helpless without light. You'll stumble. You'll fall. You'll be broken. But Jesus, he is the light of the world. And in our darkness, where we have no understanding, where things don't make sense, where life doesn't make sense, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light that brings comprehension and understanding to our lives. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, he said about Christianity, and I would say it about Jesus Christ. He says, "I believe in Christianity. I believe in Jesus Christ, not just like I believe in the sun. Not because I see the sun, but because by the sun I see everything else. I believe in Jesus Christ not because I see him. I get glimpses of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because I know Jesus Christ, he has imparted his light to me, and this world starts to make sense. It's a nonsensical world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and what his plan is for redemption and for healing for us in our lives. He is the explanation and the turning point in history." In 1 John 2, verse 8, John tells us that the darkness in this world is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The Lord Jesus Christ is bringing light to this darkness in this world. And he's bringing light into our hearts who believe in him, who would trust in him as their Savior, who would trust this God who came down from heaven to dwell with us, to change our lives, to visit us, to love us. So I ask you tonight, what is it that you're waiting for? There's things we wait for that are good and proper. We wait to hear about jobs, and we wait to have relationships restored. We desire these things, and in many cases, we need these things. We wait for these things. But trials in our lives will continue to come. Jesus promises us this. He says that in this world you will have trouble, but I will grant you my peace. Micah gives us this vision that we're to wait not for these things, not for things to be changed and transformed, but for the Lord to change and transform us, to come into our lives. "But as for me, I will wait for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. I will wait for the God who hears me. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell now in darkness, the Lord my God, is a light to me. Let's pray to the Lord our God, who hears us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your words of comfort and hope that you bring to us. And I pray, Lord, that those who are struggling in this season would seek the help that they need, and that you would protect them, Lord, from the evil one who would try to destroy them and sift them like wheat, Lord. Lord, help us to wait longingly for you, to rejoice in you, for you are our only hope, Lord. Lord, bless us this Christmas and bless these men. Give us encouragement and hope, Lord, in this time that's a time filled with darkness for many here. And Lord, for those who are hopeful, Lord, I pray that their hope would be directed in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone, and not in the materials of this world and the relationships in this world. We thank you, Lord, for your word and how it speaks. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
Merry Christmas.